So we're going to start in the book of Genesis today, and this is going to be fun. I think you're going to enjoy this. I know I've been totally blessed by this. So I want you to go to Genesis chapter 2, and it's all about Adam and Eve. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. Everybody say flesh. Flesh. This is the key word in this passage. You'll see. How do you know when God's trying to get something across to you? He repeats himself. And he keeps repeating himself and repeating himself. And so you pay attention to what he is saying. And that's how God teaches us many times in life, and in the Word. That's how you teach. Repetition is the number one. Every teacher knows this. It's finding ways to keep repeating the material, right? That you just keep doing it until you finally get it. And so here's what it is. He took a rib and he closed up the place with flesh. And then the rib that God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And this is the first time the word woman comes in. And the word is Isha. Isha. It's a cool word because Ish means man and kind of a strong and mighty man. And Isha means a mighty woman. And so she's a Shah, Isha. And then the man said, this is at last. After seeing all the animals and realizing this ain't for me. I ain't going to marry that one. I ain't going to, no, that gorilla, nope, not for me. That weasel, no, that skunk, no way. You know what I mean? All the animals, and Adam couldn't relate to them because it wasn't his flesh. It wasn't of him. So then he said, the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. There's the word flesh twice. So now we've got more flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. And that word built, that word, what God did, and the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he built it into a woman. It's really interesting. The same word that they use for building a house or constructing a temple, it's the same exact word. So he actually formed it and, he created it. He just didn't, snap his fingers, poof. It took time. It was a job. It was an effort. It was something that God built. Now, I want you to hear me on this because I want you to see what the New Testament reality of this Old Testament story is. All right? It happens to be the first 2:22 verse. There's a lot of very cool chapter 2, 22 verses in the scripture, or 22:2, that the Lord uses to speak themes. And it's the first thing. The woman is the church. The woman is the church. And didn't God say, I will what? Build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. I will build my church. So the same Hebrew word that Jesus used about building his church, he was saying, I will build my woman. The woman, Eve, represents the church. And of course, who is Adam? Jesus. Paul said so, didn't he? He said, Jesus is the last Adam and the second Adam. So we're hearing the story. When Paul teaches about Adam, every Jew knew, every Jew was taught, God made Adam. And so they knew that the Adam of the Old Testament Adam represented Jesus. He is the last one and he is the second one. In other words, God sent him special to the earth. He didn't like literally form him out of clay like he did, but he breathed life into him. So he's the second Adam and the last Adam. And the woman, if Jesus is Adam, who is the woman? The church. His, in the book of Revelation, what is the church called? Is Mary and the only one know the Bible in this place? You all say better. Do I need to give them a check? Jan, what are we going to do with these students? Let's try this again.
Pop quiz.
What does God call the church in the book of Revelation?
The bride of Christ.
The woman. The woman. Jesus is the Ish, and the woman is the Isha, right? So here is the foundation. Y'all need to know this. Y'all need to see it. You need to see yourselves as a bunch of women.
What?
Sorry, Don. Sorry, Tim. Well, we are. What? Now, here we go. Come on now. Now, I want you to hear me on this. Jesus, why is flesh so important in the book of Genesis? Because God said the second Adam is going to be flesh, just like the first Adam, and his bride's going to be flesh, and they too will be one flesh. We would never be saved if Jesus didn't come in the flesh. Somebody say, amen, walls.
Amen.
You would not be going to heaven if Jesus didn't come in the flesh. I'm telling you, he had to be flesh and bone for you to go to heaven. You'd be all going to hell right now. Because Jesus came in the flesh. It says, in the beginning was the Word.
Amen.
And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Amen.
Right? And then what did it say? And the Word became what?
Flesh.
The Word became flesh. And Jesus became flesh so that we, our flesh, could be one with Him. We are one. And then he said to us, when he looked at us, he said, this is my bones and my flesh. When Jesus rose from the grave, when he came and he looked at you and me, he looked at all the people, he said, this is it. This is it. What did Adam do before when God was working on him? What was he doing? Right here in the Word. It says in verse 21, so the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. Everybody say sleep.
Sleep.
What does sleep represent in the Bible? Rest. But what else does it represent? Death. Death. Jesus said, this girl's not dead. She's asleep. I'm going to wake her up. Lazarus. My brother Lazarus died. Oh, no, he's asleep. So we got to learn that when God talks about sleep, and when he said he put a deep sleep on Adam, what was he really doing? He was representing and glorifying Jesus, who went into a deep sleep and on the third day rose from the dead. And while he was asleep, he took out something and he created a bride. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he wasn't alone anymore. He wasn't alone anymore. Where did the blood come out of Jesus when he was on the cross? His feet, his head, where'd it come out? Right by the rib. Well, I'll be. Do you think maybe there's a connection in Genesis? Oh, my sarcasm, forgot it. Sorry, guys. Sorry, that's my New York sarcasm. Sorry, forgive me. Hey, there's a connection there. Do you hear me? I want you to read Genesis 2 like you've never read it, like the Holy Spirit meant it for you to read it. Do you think that God really wanted you to know what he did with Adam back in the beginning like that? Yeah, but what's more important? Jesus, what Jesus did. I mean, we wouldn't be here if it didn't happen to the first Adam. But guess what? We'd be going to hell if it wasn't for the second Adam. If I had a choice between just this life or heaven and hell, I think I'd choose heaven, eternal life. I'd go for it. Hear what I'm saying? We need to see and read the Word of God as God meant it to be read. In other words, we need the Holy Spirit to teach us. And so Holy Spirit was getting my attention big time about this. He said, John, you need to impart to your people to get in there and read that Word of God and see it the way I wrote it. God is telling his people that there's no one that he could ever find. I'm sorry. He's not going to find a bride that isn't coming right out of his side. Isn't that something? I'm just not going to settle for anybody. When God chose you to be saved, he said, I'm not settling for anybody. You were made out of my side, and you're my flesh and my blood. We are the same. We are the same. It's powerful. First of all, I think it's going to make your marriages better. But second of all, you won't get more saved. You're going to get more saved. Some people are saved, you don't think that they really are. Because the way they act and think, they don't see how much God loves them. They think they got to work at it. They think they got to work, do something. They got to, you know what I'm saying? They don't realize how much God loves them and how much God cares about them and who they really are in God. It's called identity. Everybody say identity. God wants you to know who you are and how he made you and where you came from. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. I know. Is it all right? I keep preaching a little bit. Do you know that the Lord specifically said that when Jesus died, that not one bone was broken? That goes back to Genesis 2:22. What doctor goes in there if you're just trying to get a little flesh? He knows how to do it right. Because he was making something and constructing something beautiful out of flesh. It's very, very important. And I'll tell you why. Some Christians believe the only kind of blessing you can get from God is in the spirit. And you can't get healed in your body, in your flesh. No, you can't live a happy life in your flesh. It's all going to be in the sweet by and by. Do you see why the devil wants you to not know that you're like one flesh with God and that he doesn't want you to really know this truth? We're not going to believe God for healing. We're not going to believe God for transformation. We're going to say we're not going to believe God that your mind is going to be changed, that you're not going to feel the same way. Come on. Don't you think he's Lord of your emotions just as much as he's Lord of your body? That means he controls your chemical balance. That means he controls your emotions. He controls what you want, where you go, what you do. He cares about all of you. Don't let the devil talk you to leaving out things that that God wants to bless you with. Because Jesus came down to it. He said, I'm going to have a bride and we are going to be one body and you are the body of Christ. That's like saying you are the bride of Christ. It's the same thing. We're one body. You are the bride. You are the body. It's the same word. Same idea, same concept. It comes out of Genesis. And when Adam, you know, that was a song. This is the last of bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. He was singing away, man. I believe it. It's poetry. He wasn't just saying it. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. Who left his father to come save us? Oh, really? And the two shall become one? Didn't that happen with us at the cross in the resurrection? Yes. Yeah. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. That means when you're in family, what is it? You let it all hang out. I mean, it's just all you. Just there's nothing in it. It's real. It's just real. That's the way I would describe it today. Is man and his wife were real, and it didn't bother them. They were just themselves. They saw it. They were and I almost want to just stop right here, actually, because I feel like there's a lot more here I want to talk about, and. But I want to talk to you about this. I want to get you to that first concept. But I felt like the Lord really wanted you to hear the importance of how we are the bride. We are the body of Christ. And how there's a connection between being the bride of Christ and the body of Christ. Because we all share in the same flesh and the same spirit. And the same what? Mind. Right? Does the Bible say something about having the mind of Christ? Isn't that amazing? So we have the body of Christ, the spirit of Christ, the flesh, right? The mind of Christ. Well, how about the will of Christ? Thy kingdom come and thy what? Jesus said, I don't come to do my own will, but the will of the what? Father, what do we pray? Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy what? So we got the will, same will as Jesus, right? We have choice, obviously, but the Holy Spirit can tell us, you know, one of the best prayers that you can pray? Holy Spirit, show me what the will of God is in this situation. If I don't know it, if you don't know it, ask Him. He'll tell you. And then do it.